Brain health is often overlooked in our quest for fitness, when in reality, it's a muscle that you need to nourish and activate and take care of. My guest today is Dr. Mike Dow, and he shares his tips for eliminating brain fog and improving brain health. This is your podcast for health and inspiration, Which Way Is Life? I'm your host, Bill Klaproth, and this is episode number 70. If you like what you hear today, please take 30 seconds and rate and review the podcast on iTunes. I would greatly appreciate it. Dr. Mike Dow is a psychotherapist, brain health and relationship expert, and New York Times best-selling author of The Brain Fog Fix and newly launched Healing the Broken Brain. Dr. Dow has been featured on The Doctors and Dr. Oz, as well as his E! Talk show, Sex with Brody, and you can also see him as the therapist on The Bachelor spinoff, Ben and Lauren, Happily Ever After. Dr. Dow, thanks for joining me today. I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
My books are filled with lots of tips, lots of changes people can make. So both in The Brain Fog Fix and Healing the Broken Brain, I talk about simple strategies. And one of the simplest and easiest ones is I hope that everyone follows my wellness shot recipe. So all you do, you get a half teaspoon of turmeric, you get a half teaspoon of black pepper, you mix it up in an ounce or two of water, and you take that shot every day. We know that that turmeric has incredible healing properties for the brain. It puts it into an anti-inflammatory state. It blocks plaques that can cause brain fog and dementia from forming. And we know that the pepper is important because it helps your body to actually digest all the fantastic antioxidants in that turmeric. So if you have that wellness shot every day, you may potentially, looking at statistics, reduce your risk of things like brain fog and dementia by 90%.
Wow. The wellness shot. Now, can it be just ground pepper?
Yep. Ground black pepper, you know, anything sitting on your table, that table pepper will do. That yellow turmeric in the grocery aisle is something that'll cost you about a penny a day to do. It's just one of the most healing little wellness shots I could ever concoct. So I recommend that everyone take it every day. And by the way, it has a great effect on your body as well. You notice your joints are feeling better just because of all of the healing properties in this little magical shot.
Okay, putting that down on the to-do list. We'll be heading out to the store after this interview. Thank you, Dr. Dow. That is a great tip. All right, and before we dig into your story, can you let us in on your personal life? What brings you joy when you're not saving the world?
Well, in my private practice, you know, I do deal with a lot of really heavy problems. There's usually a lot of joy in my practice, but, you know, I also have to do a really good job of taking care of myself because, you know, sometimes it can be a little draining because I care so much about the patients that I treat. So I think for me, exercise and walking my dogs is something that always brings me a great sense of joy and just a sense of reset, you know, something that I can do and sort of reflect upon my day and some of the things I've been doing, whether it's writing or being in my office, helping people to change their lives. And it is really that great mindful moment, right, where you turn off your phone, you're walking your dogs, you're enjoying the summer day. And, you know, I always say that dogs are like mini Buddhas, right? They just remind you to stay immersed in the present moment with mindfulness and a sense of clarity.
That's so cool. I love that. The mindful moment and the sense of reset. And I hear that a lot from my guests, how pets and dogs in particular, they love their dogs. And it just brings that sense of relaxation and presence of mind because the dog doesn't care if you had a bad day or not. Your dog is just excited to see you. Let's go out and have some fun. Forget about the troubles.
That's right. So, they're always happy to see you. Never a grudge. Always that smile. Always that licking on the face, you know. Yeah. And it's such a great reminder.
Well, that is cool. And I quickly want to mention Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audible.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. All right, Dr. Dow, let's talk about your latest book, Healing the Broken Brain, Dealing with Stroke Recovery. So who is at risk for stroke?
Well, we used to think, and if you look at some of the stats from, you know, a few decades ago, that stroke was really a disease that affected older people generally. So it's something that you needed to worry about in your 60s or 70s. Well, I can tell you from the latest data that this is no longer your grandmother or grandfather's disease. In fact, we know that people who are having strokes tend to be younger. So the numbers of people in their 60s and 70s having strokes has pretty much stayed the same. But the number of younger adults, so we're talking about people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, the Americans in their 20s, 30s, and 40s has roughly doubled in terms of the number of younger adults having strokes. Of course, this story is also about my brother who had a rare brain disease. So he had a massive stroke when he was just 10 years old. But, you know, regardless whether you have a stroke at 10, 25, or 65, the principles in this book are universal. And it really is not only about how to treat stroke and how to heal those broken brains, but hopefully, as I, you know, I always like to say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If you are in a risk factor, and more Americans are at a high risk because of our lifestyles, what we're eating, you can understand what you need to do to prevent stroke in the first place, which I think has become even more important with our lifestyles, our diet, and looking at these numbers. So it really is important information for all adults.
So we're having strokes earlier because of our lifestyles. That's the reason?
Yeah, we are, you know, our commutes have gotten an hour longer from a generation ago. We're sleeping an hour less. And I think most significantly, it's our diets, right? So everything, you know, and this is sort of a continuation, and you're going to hear the same advice that I gave on brain health in my last book, The Brain Fog Fix. You know, a lot of this still applies. So we know that a modified Mediterranean diet is the best diet for brain health. You know, it has a high... it has all of these leafy greens, fish with high levels of omega-3s. You know, a lot of these leafy greens contain a lot of folate, also known as vitamin B9, which we know getting enough folate is going to reduce your risk of stroke. You know, cutting back on the sugar, the flour, filling up your plate with fruit, vegetables. You know, my favorite fruit for the brain is blueberries because we know it slows cognitive decline. It can actually keep your brain in tip-top shape, and we know that the antioxidants in blueberries make their way past the blood-brain barrier to actually get into the brain and protect it from oxidation and from aging. So we do know that there is so much we can do, and as more and more Americans become more sedentary, they're spending more time in their cars, they're eating more fast food, more soda. It really is just a shift. And, you know, some of these shifts are really simple. You know, it's drinking coffee or tea instead of soda. Instead of drinking a if you're going out on a Friday night, instead of having a vodka cranberry juice, which is a sugar bomb, having a glass of red wine instead, having the grilled piece of salmon instead of the chicken sandwich, because we know that these lifestyle changes, and especially the diet, can have a really profound effect on your brain health and also your risk of stroke.
So for a stroke survivor, then, the modified Mediterranean diet would be the best diet to be on for that person.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, one of the things that my, when I was a child and my brother had his stroke, you know, my father, who was a physician, put my brother on a very high dose of a fish oil supplement. Now, we know now, and by the way, at the time, you know, a lot of people thought that was, you know, oh, that's not really going to do anything. But we know that it was a part of my brother's healing, because my brother's story was sort of miraculous. I mean, they told my brother, doctors were saying, you know, you should put him in a nursing home for the rest of his life. His stroke was just so major, he'll never be able to live an independent life. And I can tell you today that he is. He's living a happy, independent life. And, you know, there are so many things that were a part of that. But, you know, those omega-3s, there's two main omega-3s, right, that our body uses, EPA and DHA. DHA is sort of the Play-Doh of the brain. So your brain, you know, it's why pregnant moms need to take it, because their infant, developing infant brains uses it as the sort of the Play-Doh to build. And if you have a broken brain, you also need high levels of omega-3s. And remember that the standard American diet has high levels of the opposite, which is omega-6s. So if factory farmed meats, very high levels of omega-6s, we want to shift that to a high omega-3 state, because if it's a high omega-3 state, you know, not only are you getting the EPA, which improves mood, DHA, which is sort of the building block of the brain, but in general, having more omega-3s and less omega-6s puts your brain in an anti-inflammatory state versus the American diet, which causes inflammation in the brain. And we certainly don't want that if you're trying to heal.
Right. So somebody that does do this diet after stroke, certainly it should take effect and help to make recovery that much shorter, right? Maximize their recovery on this diet.
Oh, absolutely. absolutely. And it's synergistic, right? So, you know, for this book, I didn't write this book by myself, you know, unlike the Brain Fog Fix. So this book, my brother and I interviewed all of the best experts. So neurologists, speech therapists, physical therapists. We really needed to, because it takes a village to heal a broken brain, we wanted to hear from the very best of the best in all of their fields. And then if you put this diet together synergistically with the best principles of speech therapy, physical therapy, and, you know, something really simple, which is, you know, creating, in science, what we call an enriched environment, you know, in studies with rats, it's putting a rat in a cage with a wheel and some material to bed with, as opposed to, you know, a plain cage. And for human beings, that means that in our lives, we have to create an enriched environment where we are challenging ourselves each and every day. So it's less time spent watching television and more time spent, whatever it is. Maybe if you're a stroke survivor, it's learning how to talk again. And maybe if you're just an everyday person with no disabilities, maybe it's learning a foreign language or learning to play a new instrument or learning about a new city that you would like to travel to next year, right? So everything that we do, you know, you'll hear me say again and again in this book, neurons that fire together, wire together. And also when it comes to the brain, it's use it or lose it. And it's also, by the way, use it and then improve it. So all of these principles really matter, not just for stroke survivors, but for all of us who are walking around with a brain, which includes all of us.
Right. So use it and improve it. I love that. And then exercise too, right? Activating the body also helps the mind too.
Oh my gosh. You know, there's all this talk of stem cells and, you know, stem cells, yeah, I talk about it in the book and, you know, there's some really exciting in the horizon coming up probably in the next 5 to 10 years, I would say. You know, there are early trials with stem cells and they have near miraculous results with stroke survivors. But in the meantime, you know, it's really interesting to note that all of us have the capacity to create new growth, right? So neurogenesis, the birth of new brain cells and connections. And one of the best ways to increase neurogenesis is through aerobic exercise. So this is not an experimental procedure. This is not $100,000. This is something as simple as getting out your bike tonight when you get home and exercising. And, you know, if you are a stroke survivor, exercising in whatever way you can. Maybe it's walking with a walker. Maybe it's using some modified elliptical trainer, or, you know, or doing just focusing on what you can do, because we know that when you move your body, in the hippocampus especially, the part of the brain involved in learning and memory, emotional regulation, we know that of all forms of exercise, sustained aerobic exercise in these studies that have just come out in the past few years really makes a profound difference in increasing the birth of new brain cells in this part of the brain, which is just key for all of us if we want to keep our brains active and young.
That is amazing. It's just like you said, a simple bike ride around the block after dinner. I mean, it's free, it's easy, and it gets you out there, and it helps your mind. It helps the brain. That's terrific. So if you had to encapsulate this for us, kind of umbrella this for us, for a stroke survivor to maximize their recovery, do you have like 3 top tips or 4 top tips? What do they need to do?
If a stroke survivor wants to really maximize their recovery, I would say the first thing they need to do is challenge themselves every day. So it is going to be hard, and it is going to require a lot of motivation. But the harder you work and the more you put together therapies, right? So putting together this diet with speech therapy, or putting together maybe a spiritual practice like meditation or even prayer that can help you to manage stress, and then using the inspiration or the peace that you have, that state of mind, as you go into your next session of occupational therapy. If you challenge yourself, you'll be amazed at what you can do. The other thing I always tell people, and this is for stroke survivors and anybody really who has a goal, and hopefully we're all living lives where we want to reach goals and achieve new things. You know, I often tell my patients that, you know, my goal sometimes is to put blinders on them. Like they're a horse running a race, and instead of the horse, you know, focusing on, you know, the mile they have left to run, I just want the horse to focus on this next bend, right? And getting around this next bend, because those blinders can help us stay focused, right? It's sort of why I recommend and talk about this in the book as well, SMART goals. creating goals that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-sensitive, smart. So instead of saying, oh, I have to learn how to walk again, that can feel daunting. That can feel like I have so much work to do. And that can actually make us feel hopeless and depressed because maybe we don't know if we're going to do it. Then we can shift that and we can say, okay, I'm going to set a SMART goal. And I'm going to say, at the end of this week, I will work on taking 10 steps a day in physical therapy. Then all of a sudden, you can see how these types of goals can help you to put blinders on. It can help you to just focus on what's ahead of you. And by the way, you can use these kind of SMART goals no matter who you are. So let's say you're somebody who is miserable in your job and you really want to create a side hustle business and maybe one day have that be your main source of income. Well, you probably have to create some SMART goals there as well, right? It's you know, I am going to dedicate 3 hours on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night to starting my new business, right? And then, you know, setting SMART goals along the way. And maybe once you reach a couple extra $1,000 of income a month, that's when you're going to leave the job that you have, right? And we can start to see how psychology plays such a profound role in human beings attaining goals, you know, no matter what that goal may be for you. And I think, you know, the third tip here is no matter who you are, just never forget the power of a human spirit and hope. So it's fantastic to use the newest strategies, and you can have the best speech therapist, you can have the best psychotherapist in the world, but unless you personally have a sense of hope in terms of what your potential is, in terms of can you get better, do you believe that you will get better, do you have something to live for? You know, I'm always struck by patients that I've had who've had a history of being suicidal. You know, their depression has gotten so bad. They say, you know, I always ask them, you know, and it may sound like a really depressing question, but I think it's actually a really beautiful question is, you know, what's kept you alive? And oftentimes it's a mother or their dog. And there's somebody, a relationship in their life that in the darkest moment, it kept them going so they could get out of that and do what they needed to do to lift themselves up. So I think always remembering the power of hope and how hope and faith really transforms our lives in everything and everything that we do.
Challenge yourself every day, put blinders on, stay focused on SMART goals, and never forget the power of the human spirit and hope. Thank you for sharing that with us, Dr. Dow. That's terrific. I quickly want to shift gears a little bit into the brain fog fix. Now, let's talk about that a little bit. So what is brain fog? This is somebody that hasn't had a stroke, but we've heard this term before. I'm in brain fog. I have brain fog. What is that?
Yeah, so it's almost become part of the English language, you know. And so I wanted to take all of the cases that I've ever treated and, you know, people that reach out to me on social media. And brain fog is simply when you just don't feel like yourself. It's sort of a mixed bag, you know. So if I was to look at the average American, I would say that most Americans have some mild anxiety. They have some mild symptoms of inattention or ADHD. They have some mild problems with mood, maybe a little minor depression, maybe a little insomnia, you know, trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. So it is sort of this, you know, and then, of course, there's some special conditions. So if you're a woman who just had a baby, maybe you have mommy brain. If you're in your 60s or 70s, you'll have what I refer to as senior moments. You know, so I have these chapters in the Brain Fog Fix designed for these two special populations, people with mommy brain or senior moments. But all of these conditions, I think most Americans can relate to having some sort of brain fog in their lives. And it is this condition that is, a mixed bag. And because it's a mixed bag, we have to look at, you know, number one, what are the causes of it? And we can look at everything in our lifestyle, from our smartphones and the way, you know, luckily there's a new filter. If you have a new iPhone, you can put it on night shift. Because, you know, everything in our lives, like, so looking at, for example, our iPhones, and looking at the way that electronics, which emit more blue light than any other color, and looking at the way blue light is especially good at suppressing melatonin production, which makes sense when you look up at the blue sky. So nature designed the color blue to sort of tell our brain through, you know, traveling through our eyes and then traveling to the pineal gland in the brain to shut down melatonin production. Well, that's great if you're going outside and you're awake when nature intended you to be awake. But when you are exposing yourself to blue light in the form of not only your iPhone, but laptops, tablets, TVs, and even the kinds of energy-saving light bulbs we're using. So looking at these compact fluorescent light bulbs and LEDs, which I'm a fan of in some way because, you know, they're great for our environment. But compared to the good old-fashioned incandescent light bulb, LEDs and fluorescent bulbs emit more blue light than incandescent bulbs, right? So everything in our world is sort of, you know, that this is an example, obviously, that affects insomnia, right? So people aren't falling asleep. They're not getting good sleep. And then they're turning to prescription sleep aids, which can, you know, cause as many problems as they solve. Again, looking at some of these other stats that I mentioned before in terms of, you know, we're sleeping an hour less or working an hour more, our commutes have gotten longer. We're more likely, I have a chapter in the Brain Fog Fix called The Epidemic of Loneliness, right? So we are more likely in any other time in American history to be living alone. We report having less good friends as Americans than we did a few generations ago. So we're isolated, we're lonely, we're stressed out. And of course, just like stroke survivors who aren't eating a modified Mediterranean diet, we're eating the standard American diet, which has shifted from high levels of omega-3s to omega-6s, which, of course, creates inflammation both in the brain and the body. And, you know, this is my grandfather was a farmer in Gippsburg, Ohio. He grew up on a farm with, you know, seven siblings. And you know, it used to be that most farms were family farms. Well, if you have a family farm and you have animals walking around the yard eating nutritious grass, there's that adage, you are what you eat. Well, it goes a step further than that. It's you are what you eat ate. So if an animal is raised on a factory farm and they're roaming around and they're eating nutritious grass, well, those animals and their dairy products, if you're talking about milk or cheese, they have much higher levels of omega-3s compared to that same animal in a factory farm that is in a pen eating industrial grains. We know that shifts the composition of their meat, of the dairy products that animal is going to produce. So even if you were eating an American diet, you know, let's say at the beginning of McDonald's, you know, right, if you're in the 50s or 60s, even that McDonald's hamburger, by the way, used to be more nutritious than it is today, thanks to the changes in our food supply. So I think we just have to do a really good job in looking at, you know, what is causing all of this brain fog, and then also realizing that we have the power to shift it with a few simple changes in our lives.
You are what you eat, ate. That's that's an interesting way of putting it, and I've never thought about it that way. So, but that's so true. And you say many of the foods we eat, our lifestyle habits, our lack of sleep, stress, all those things do not support our brains. So your book focuses on a three-part fix. So let's go through the three-week program quickly. In week one, you'll improve your mood by modifying your diet and using cognitive strategies to overcome pitfalls through patterns. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I use a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy. So the week one is really looking at what I call the pitfall thought pattern. So looking at personalization, polarization. So if you tend to think in polarized black and white patterns, people like myself, if you are a perfectionist, you're prone to this. But we also know that thinking in this way can cause anxiety, right? So it really is changing the way we think, and it can really help to shift your mood. And when you shift your mood, a lot of other changes, like changes in what you're eating, exercising, even spiritual practices, become even easier.
Absolutely. All right. So in week two, then, you say you'll increase your energy by focusing on sleep, exercise, and memory-boosting games. How about that?
Yeah. So, you know, what's really exciting is that there are games that have been clinically shown to improve memory. So there's a really simple one that I have in the book, and it's called the NBAC. So the NBAC is simply, it looks like a tic-tac-toe board, and you look at, let's say there's a square in the top left quadrant, and then you go to the next one, and maybe there'll be a star in the middle square there. And then you see how far back can you go. We know that this type of memory game is especially good at improving your working memory. Working memory tends to decline as we get older versus other forms of intelligence like crystallized intelligence that increases as we get older. So it's not as important to play Trivia Pursuit as we get older. I mean, you kind of want to because it can be a fun game. But Trivia Pursuit and quiz questions, that's crystallized intelligence. We don't really need to focus as much on that. We need to focus on the working memory. So using the NBAC, if you have grandkids or kids, you can get the childhood game Concentration, where you're looking for pairs of faces. That's a version of the NBAC. So you could actually play that with your kids. It'll help them to build their working memory and help you to preserve yours. And then, of course, combining that, you know, as I was talking about with stroke, it's so important to use synergistic properties, because when it comes to health, in study after study, we know that 1 + 1 does not equal 2. 1 + 1, when you're combining things that work for health, 1 + 1 + 1 probably equals 10, even though it should equal 3. And this, by the same token, things that harm your health, 1 + 1 + 1 also equals 10. It's why people who, for example, people who drink too much but exercise frequently don't have quite the risk in cancer spike as people who drink but also smoke who also don't exercise, right? So we know that this synergistic effect goes either way. So if you are now using exercise for 44 minutes a day and you're using the NBAC and also focusing on your sleep, right? We know that people who expose themselves to bright outdoor light first thing in the morning, you're going to sleep better. And if that's not an option, you can do, there's some simple fixes in the book. So changing your light bulbs, you can still use those energy efficient LED light bulbs, but now even GE is making some that are designed to filter out the right kind of light at the right time of day. So, you know, there's one made by Definity Digital called the Awake and Alert bulb. That one has a lot of blue light. And then there's the Good Night bulb made by that same company, or even GE makes one. They're $20, and they last a lot longer than incandescent bulbs. And then you want to put the ones that don't have blue light, like the Good Night bulb, in your bedroom, so that you're not exposing yourself to high levels of blue light in the evening if you're reading in bed. So again, you're putting these things together. They have a real synergistic effect, and they really help you to sleep better and also to feel better.
That is fascinating. All right. And then in week 3, you'll enhance your spirit through practices that help you connect to something larger than yourself and enable you to rediscover your joy in life. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's fascinating that spiritual practice isn't just something that's, you know, sort of an optional side dish or dessert for human health and happiness when it comes to the brain. In fact, some of the practices I have in the Brain Fog Fit have been clinically studied, and we know that they improve mood. So there's this little meditation from the Kundalini yoga tradition, and it's a sort of a strange meditation because it involves singing, and it also involves using your hands. And what you do is you take your thumb and you sing to the tune of Mary, the first few notes of Mary Had a Little Lamb, but you use the four syllables, Sata Nama. So it sounds something like this. Sata Nama. Sata Nama. Sounds like Mary had a little lamb, but you're not saying the little lamb. And you're touching your thumb to your index finger, middle finger, ring finger, then pinky. And you do this for about 12 minutes. And we know that this meditation has been shown to help people to improve their memory. And it also, you know, has this side effect of helping people to feel spiritually centered. So no matter, even if you're just using a meditation like this, and I have other 12-minute meditations in the book, these meditations can have a profound effect on the way you feel. They can help to supercharge your healing process. Because remember, we talked about the psychological power of hope and faith, and connecting and grounding ourselves with some spiritual practices. Whether you're a religious or a spiritual person, you can use meditation in a secular way if you're not particularly religious, or you can, you know, attach some sort of a deeper meaning to these practices, which will probably supercharge their results even more. But I do think, you know, even in looking at some of the statistics, you know, not only are we more likely to live alone now in America at any other time in American history, but we also are more likely to not believe in anything. We're less likely to go to a place of worship every week. And we know that this has a profound effect on our health as well, you know, in terms of blood pressure. People who have some sort of a spiritual practice, they tend to be healthier and they live longer, and they tend to be more optimistic. So, I'm certainly not telling people what they should believe in, but I certainly believe that people need to believe in something and finding out what that is for you.
That's so true. Sata Nama. I'm trying that after this interview. Thank you for the tip. Well, the books are The Brain Fog Fix and Healing the Broken Brain by Dr. Mike Dow. And coming up, we get the high five from Dr. Dow. But if I could ask a quick favor after the interview, if you could hop on over to iTunes, give me a rating and review. Just search Which Way Is Life. I would appreciate it. That way I gain a wider audience and we have a chance to help more people. And that's what this podcast is all about. The high five with Dr. Mike is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way Is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way Is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way Is Life for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today, Dr. Mike Dow. Dr. Dow, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Question number one, what lit your passion for brain health?
For me, seeing my brother really achieve miraculous results is what really stoked the fires for me in terms of passion for brain health. I saw what was possible in the human brain, and I took that passion and that belief, and I really expanded it to include anything and everything, from all of us who are just aging, who have brains that we want to keep in tip-top shape, or maybe people who are experiencing more specialized conditions like depression, anxiety, insomnia. And I really believe that we all have the power to really make a profound impact in our brains each and every day.
Mm-hmm. So cool. All right, question number two. I have this theory that high-performing people like yourself start their day a certain way. How do you start your day?
Coffee and walking my dogs. but it really is a ritual that I enjoy, right? So the good news is that you don't have to give up coffee. In fact, we know that coffee is extremely neuroprotective. And we know that people who have about 3 small cups of coffee a day can reduce their risk of brain fog conditions like dementia later in life. So, you know, a lot of the things that you probably already do, you can keep. And some of the things we just need to modify a little bit, like the kinds of proteins most Americans tend to eat, just changing the composition of those proteins. If you like, if you eat a lot of beef, you can still eat beef. It's just look for the grass-fed variety. So then you can change a meat that used to contain a lot of omega-6s, changing it to higher levels of anti-inflammatory omega-3s, and you'll be on your way. So, and also you're right, these rituals that we all have, you know, for me it's the coffee and starting my day not with stress, but starting my day with a mindful walk with my dog is really a great way to set the intention and the energy for the day.
I get that answer a lot, coffee and my dogs. It's very good. I love it. All right, question number three. Knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say to never forget, and I guess I would make one change, is never forget what you're passionate about. So what was really interesting about me is when I was in high school and really my undergrad years, you know, I was sort of a weekend extracurricular volunteer kind of guy. And I never thought that what I could do every single day from 9 to 5 could be the thing that I could be helping people every single day. And that's exactly what I do now. So, you know, I would just tell myself that, you know, you don't need to go to school to become an entertainment lawyer, because I kind of thought when I was 18 that I wanted to run, do entertainment contracts for movie stars or something.
Right.
And I very
right.
quickly at about 18 or 19 realized that I did not want to be an attorney. You know, I used to think that this prototype was make a lot of money as an attorney during the day and then, you know, volunteer on the weekends. And I very quickly realized that I wanted to help people full time. And that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. All right. Question number four. Do you have a favorite quote you can share with us?
Yeah, I always tell my patients, you are the true expert of you. So what I like to do is instead of having people listen to, you know, the pharmaceutical ads that tell people and suggest how bad you may be feeling, is to really become an expert on the way you are feeling. Because at the end of the day, somebody can have all of the credentials and training in the world, but you are the only person who is in your brain, in your body, and feelings are information. Feelings are information that something that you're doing in your life is either working or not working. And if it's not working, and if you are sad and you're depressed and you're feeling brain foggy, that is information that something needs to change, that you need to do something differently. And when you feel better, that is information that what you're doing is working. So do more of that. And if you can become an expert on you, that can have a miraculous effect on helping you to change what you need to change, supercharging your life, and achieving anything and everything that your heart and mind desires.
I love that. Feelings are information. That's so true. So thank you for sharing that with us. And last question, question number 5, finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
To persevere, which I think is rooted in a belief in yourself. I think no matter what we do, it's just so important to persevere. And this is especially important for people who maybe have read the Brain Fog Fix and are using the program. This is, you know, of course, I have a 3-week program, but I also believe that people who use most of these strategies, you know, I talk about the rule. So 80% of the time you're using these strategies. So 80% of the days you are exercising, 80% of the time you're eating healthy. And if you persevere, you know, I certainly know in my career that perseverance is never giving up. You know, I've had so many disappointments in my career, things, projects that have just sort of gone away. And I've had so many things that have actually worked out. So, you know, and I think if I had been that kind of person who put all my eggs in one basket and then just stopped believing in myself after one disappointment, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I think perseverance is really the key to that in everything that we do.
Such a good message, and you're so right on that. And things will work out if you just stick with it and stay at it. And things may not work out exactly how you thought they would, but they will work out for you in some way, that's for sure. Well, the books are The Brain Fog Fix and Healing the Broken Brain by Dr. Mike Dow. Dr. Dow, how can we connect with you?
You can head over to my website, drmikedow.com, or follow me on social media. I'm DrMikeDow, Dr. Mike Dow, on most social media sites as well.
Very good. And we'll put all those links up on the show notes page at radiomd.com. Well, thank you again. I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite quotes, which is, remember to enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Dr. Dow, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
So great to talk with Dr. Dow, and thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at radiomd.com. And again, if I could ask a quick favor, just rate and review the podcast on iTunes. I know I sound like a broken record, but by gaining a wider audience, we help more people, and that's what we're trying to do here. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcasts. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.